So, if you got your Bibles, open to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, and somebody's working on the lights. We're going to have every outlet in this place turned off, but we got lights now. Praise the Lord. Hey, Hebrews 5, if you don't know where Hebrews is, it's towards the back. If you hit James, it's right around there. Hit Revelation, you've gone too far. If you don't have a Bible, you owe me $5. We got a lot of first-timers and second-timers. A lot of first-timers I saw tonight. I'm excited you guys are here. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us. This verse that I'm about to read is kind of our theme verse for this series. And the heartbeat behind it is this. That you as an individual, as someone who says, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a Christian. And many of you have been saying that for a long time. Some of you, as long as you can remember, you don't even really remember when you got saved or you gave your life to Christ or you asked Jesus in your heart or however you say it. You don't even remember that because you've been in church and you've been a Christian so long. And yet, I think a lot of us are going to fall into this category that we're going to read right here in Hebrews. But before we start, everybody get your phone out, turn them off. Don't be texting unless you're texting me the secret code to win $1 million. You can do that, okay? Actually, no, you can't do that either. You can't do Coke rewards either. All right, everybody turn it off. Thank you. Amen. Hebrews 5, verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, if you don't have a clue what that means, that's okay, because the person beside you probably doesn't either. But here's in a nutshell what he's talking about right there. He's talking to this group of Christians who have been Christians for a while. And he's saying, you know, when you're a baby, you get milk. And that's okay, because that's all your body can handle. But as you grow up, you start eating solid foods, because that's what you need to nourish your body and to keep going. What he's making an analogy to is our spiritual life. And he's saying, hey, when you're a baby Christian, you know, you need people to teach you all the time. You need people to show you how to read your Bible and how to study it. And you need somebody in your face all the time saying, hey, are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Are you sharing your faith? Are you loving people? Are you serving people? When you're a baby Christian, I mean, that you really need that. And that's the milk of our spirituality. You need somebody always really pouring into you. You are totally incapable, really, of doing it on your own because you've never done it before. Babies haven't ever lived before. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to eat, speak, talk. They can't do anything. He's saying as a baby Christian, hey, it's cool that you're there. But when you've been a Christian a couple years, 5 years, maybe some of y'all even 10 years, maybe more in this room as a student, more obviously as an adult, it's not okay for you to always have to have somebody teaching you. It's not okay for you not to have formed some kind of hunger for yourself. To know this awesome God that we serve, that pours down on us grace like rain, and that does all these things, and that has made this awesome communion with us that now we get to know God. It's not okay for you. He calls us immature if that's where we're at, because we still need milk when we ought to be eating a big old fat T-bone steak. And we don't even need mommy to cut it up anymore. We can do it ourselves. What we're going to look at the next 4 weeks, and tonight we're going to look at this. One is what somebody that is there, that gets this, that is a mature Christian, looks like. And then we're going to look at the next several weeks, the steps we need to take to get to that point. How you and I become that person that's not just drinking milk our whole life, that you get into that solid food. And here's the thing that stinks. As a Christian, it's kind of like that game. A lot of y'all in here would at least tell me you're a Christian. And so it's like when you pick that chair up. I mean, it weighs like 2 pounds. At first, you're like, this ain't no big deal. It's pretty easy. And then like 30 seconds into it, you're like, oh my gosh, my arms are on fire. In our Christian life, you do it and it, hey, this is awesome. People love me. They're nice to me. God loves me. I get that now. This hope thing, I mean, I'm experiencing it kind of in joy. And then something happens. Bam! And that chair starts to get a little heavier. And we start not liking the Christian life just as much. Maybe just not as much. And then not quite as much anymore. And then not as much. And here's the thing. As you grow in the Lord, you see just more and more about how nasty of a sinner you are. There's a big word that we're going to use tonight called sanctification. All right, it's got like a lot of syllables for East Tennessee kind of people. It's called sanctification. And you don't say it like that, or you sound like you just got out of a hospital you shouldn't have been in. But that's the word we're going to use. And this is a good definition, and then I'm going to give you a dumbed-down definition. All right? Sanctification, the progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. Now I'm going to give you the dumb version. Sanctification means this. It's a process. It's a gradual process of you and I, once we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, loving sin less and less, and looking like God more and more. If you've been a Christian for a while, you get that. It's that process of you falling less and less in love with the world and more in love with this great God that we serve. And the thing that's hard about this process is that the more you fall in love with God and the more you hate sin, the more sin you see in your life. Just going to go ahead and tell you that right now. But what we want to do is figure out how we journey along this sanctification process. And this is what your life should look like. Whenever, if it was yesterday or 9 years ago when you were saved, when you asked Christ to be the Lord of your life, we're just going to mark that. That's the bottom of our little bar graph chart here. Okay? And then sanctification starts happening. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but there's a point where it starts, and in some degrees you are sanctified, and then it's a process of you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And so it's like this chart, and it kind of goes up and down, and up and down, and up and down. But it's a gradual from here till the time you die of you starting to look more and more like Jesus Christ. And then when you die, you get perfectly sanctified, no more sin, and then Jesus comes back and you meet your body, you got a perfect body, and it's all good. Praise the Lord. But what we want to talk about is from spiritual birth to death and how you and I do this right, that we grow more and more to look like Jesus. Well, I want to read you a couple things. Romans 6, 11 through 14. This is good stuff right here. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there's a lot of meat tonight. You may have to chew on this for a couple weeks, but that's okay because we're going to be talking about it for a couple weeks. Romans 6, 11 through 14. In the same way, and he's talking to Christians, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now, what is that talking about to us? There's a lot there. But what I want to tell you is this. There is a beginning point of sanctification. There is a beginning point of you getting spiritually fit. And it's a continual process from the day you say, Jesus Christ, I need you. I accept what you did on the cross for me, and I want to know God personally. And so that's the starting point. And what it says here in these... I shouldn't have closed my Bible. Oh, thank you. Thankfully, I marked it. What it's saying here is that we are to no longer let sin reign in our hearts. From that point on, there is a definite break. There is a definite break. And I want to get this word right. There's a definite break from the ruling power and love of sin. So you are no longer dominated by sin. In other words, when you become a Christian, God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the power not to love sin anymore. Not to let it reign in our hearts. And to no longer offer our bodies to sin and say, do with me what you will. Let's fulfill all the desires of the flesh that I have. No, God says, I've got something different for you through Christ. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start this process with you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to make cool choices that make you look more and more and more like Jesus Christ. So sin doesn't rock your world anymore. So sin isn't your master anymore. Will you still hurt by sin? Yes. Are you rid of sin? No. But you don't have to let it reign in your heart anymore. You don't let it your tongue now. James says, if you control your tongue, you can control just about anything. But you don't have to just gossip now. Now you know it's wrong and you have a choice, and the Holy Spirit can shut your mouth as quick as you can open it when you want to start talking about somebody. See, that's the cool thing that the Holy Spirit does to make us look more like Jesus Christ. There's another verse here. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go down on to the way that sanctification covers us. And this is what's cool. As a Christian, and I'm going to move on past this sanctification, and I want you to know that's the word we're going to use for getting fit. It's kind of a good word to use in correlation with the word holy. And we want to be people that are holy. And here's the thing. You can't just be sanctified in one area of your life and not another. In other words, you can't be a sanctified, holy person that loves God on Wednesday and not on Thursday. You can't be one in class and not on your team. You can't be one here at church and not at home with your parents. You see, it bleeds across all the areas of your life. Intellect. Intellect, y'all know what intellect is? Your smarts, your brain, your edumacation. That's intellect. Colossians 1:10 says, we are to be growing in the knowledge of God. There's two things here. Do you know more about God now than you did last year? Don't answer. I want you to think. Every question I ask tonight will be rhetorical. That means I don't want you to answer. Do you know more about God tonight than you did a year ago? Have you experienced God more tonight or this past year than you did all last year? Did your faith grow? I mean, do you know this God that we sing about and we talk about and we serve any more now than you did 6 months ago, a year ago, last week? Or is your chart kind of going like this? That's just intellectually, emotionally. 1 John 2:15 says we're not to love this world any longer. We're not to fall in love with this world. Our heart should not beat for the things of this world. It should beat for God. Do you love God any more now than you did a year ago? Or are you still really in love with the world? Does God have any more control of your emotions than He did 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago? See, here's the thing. Sure, I know more about God, but I still love the world. That's okay. That's what we're seeing is that it's all of you. Your intellect, your emotions, your will. Here's what your will is. It's the decision-making part of you. Your will is the thing that says do this or don't do this, or actually makes a decision to do that or don't do that. Philippians 2:13 says God is at work in us to will and to act. Who makes the decisions in your life? You or God? Who makes them? Does He make any more now than He did last year? Or is it still pretty much your show? You just are pretty confident you got some fire insurance because you prayed a prayer one time. Does God make your decisions? Is God in control of your life or are you? That's your will. Body and spirit. 2 Corinthians talks about us giving and submitting to God, body and spirit, all of us. Physically, your body, what you put in it, what you do with it. Is God in control of that or you? We could talk about sexual stuff there. We can talk about drugs. We could talk about what you watch, what you listen to. All of that goes in your body. The way you treat your body, if you're healthy and you make wise decisions, all of that. Is God in control? Are you any more healthy, body and spirit, now than you were a year ago? You get my point. There should be some growth here, and not just in one of these areas. God is challenging us to grow in all of these. And if we're not, then our little sanctification chart here is on the downslope. And God's desire is that you get fit continually. That you continually, and we're going to see a verse here later on, that talks about us continually growing more and more. That might be 2 Corinthians 3:18. Would you flip to that real quick? That might be the verse. Hold your breath. Not really. I don't know how long it's going to take. Comes from the Lord. Yes! Ha! That's it. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed in His likeness with ever-increasing glory. That you and I are supposed to be transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. All the time. Every day. Decision by decision that we make, we have an opportunity to look more like Jesus or more like the world. And so are you and I getting fit? I want to show you a couple things, some motivations for you to get fit. You say, well, I'm not that fit, but I don't care because my life's working okay. My parents still buy me whatever I want. I'm pretty cool. People think I'm a leader here. I know enough Bible verses to get by in my Sunday school class. So what's the difference? I'd rather live my life my way. Well, I'm going to give you some motivation here for obedience. And there's 10 of them. The first one, to please God and express our love to Him. Jesus said in John 14:5, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Pretty simple one. You say, well, okay, but no, God, I really love you. Do you obey His commands? That's part of that sanctification process. It's just hard. It's hard to love people the way you love yourself. But that's part of us growing more into the image of Christ. Keep a clear conscience before God, number two. Number three, be usable for the kingdom. I know there's some of y'all in this room, because I've talked to you, maybe, and some that I haven't talked to, that want to be used by God in a powerful way. Man, when we sit in this room, and God shows up, and we're singing about how oh, praise the one who raised me from the dead and paid my debt and all that good stuff, and you say, I want that. I want to make a difference. And then we walk out of this room and it's a little harder. I wonder if it's maybe because you've just decided not to grow in us getting fit spiritually. I wonder if you just want your cake without having to cook it. I wonder if you are just decided that, man, I want that. I want God to use me, but it really doesn't have anything to do about God and people getting saved. It's because you want to look more spiritual. You see, when you put that work in and you know you're God, and God says, you be faithful where I've got you, and I'll do awesome things in you if you'll be faithful with me. Let's move on. Unbelievers come to Christ by observing your life. 1 Peter 3:1-2. Man, I know one thing. I definitely don't want somebody to not come to Christ because they've seen my life. What about your life? If we could get our little movie show over there to work and we could show your life the past week up here. Oh, hallelujah. All right, we'll watch that at the end. Put that verse back on there, though. If we could throw a video of your life up there, Adam, this past week, we got to see all your thoughts, every word you've said to your friends, to those that aren't your friends, people you've talked about. Josh, I see you laughing at him. What if we used your life? Sarah? Wes, you want me to throw your life up there? Let me see all your thoughts. Maybe what you're thinking right now. What about the way that people watch you and they see the things that you do that nobody knows, you didn't know they saw? Would it make them want to come to Christ? That's a good reason to be obedient. Desire for God's blessing on your life. Obviously, we want God's blessing. Avoid God's discipline. Hey, I'm just telling you, you know, it's bad to get a spanking from dad with the big old paddle, but you don't want God's discipline in your life. Amen. There's a story of a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. Y'all know that story? That's a good example of God's discipline. They sold some stuff, and they wanted to make a big show that they were going to give all their money because they sold a field. And they said, is this all the money? Oh, yeah. This is it. But it really wasn't. Boom! Just dead right there. I don't know if they exploded or they just passed out. I don't know. But they died right there. So his wife comes later. Hey, we heard you guys sold a field. Was that all the money that you made off of it? Yeah. Bam! Dead. Right there. That's the kind of discipline God pours out. Now, I don't know that God's going to kill you. Probably not. But I know this, that God is not a big fan of people that say, I'm your child and I'm your follower, not obeying what he says. So let's avoid God's disobedience. Greater heavenly reward, that's found in Matthew 6. You don't have to turn there. A deeper walk with God, that's good motivation for obedience. Desire for peace and joy. Desire to do what God says. And I think this, man, this is where it's at right here. I think this is the pinnacle of us growing. Desire to do what God says simply because it is right and we delight in doing right. Not any reward for you. May cost you more than you're willing to give up. But you do it because God is good and we delight in pleasing our God. Are you there in your spiritual walk? Because a lot of times I'm not. I'm still doing the balance thing. All right, I can share my faith, but what if they make fun of me? And then we start weighing it out. But we just do what's right because God's a good God and we want to please Him. I don't care what's in it for me. That's the place I want to be, though. That's the place I want to be spiritually. And here's the thing. The first step in you getting fit spiritually, the first step in realizing where you are on this process of sanctification, is realizing you got a problem. If you're way out of shape, I mean your lungs, you just can't. The first time you go running, you're going to see there's a really big problem. I mean, did you run today? Yeah. Was it bad? Dan was like, I'm going to go run 3 miles. It won't be that bad. I ran 2 miles in middle school. I can do it. But anyways, I mean, the thing is, it's just hard. And you've got to realize, it's the first thing. In any recovery process, you got to realize there's a problem. You got to realize you're not where you want to be. That is the exact same thing that you and I need to do in our spiritual life. Hey, maybe you are rocking with God. And you are growing leaps and bounds. And yeah, you struggle, but you take one step back and two steps forward. Four steps forward. And you're like, man, I get what you're saying, Brian. And I want to keep growing. Maybe you've looked at this stuff and you're like, dude, I'm just not getting it. I'm just not there. I mean, if anything, I'm going downhill. And I don't love God any more now than I did last year or when I got saved. And I don't serve Him any better. And I don't read the Bible anymore. And I don't pray anymore. I mean, my mind, my will, my emotions, all that stuff. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not growing. Why? Just make a choice. Just make a choice that tonight it's going to be different. That you're going to decide, God, through your power, I'm going to look more like you. And I'm going to grow to hate the loves that I used to have for this world. And I'm going to do just what Paul said, and I'm going to consider it all rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing you and doing what you want for me. But you have to start by seeing that you need this. And Satan wants to do anything but let you see that you need this. Satan wants you to be totally content not growing spiritually. Satan wants you to be totally content doing and knowing and being the exact same person you are 50 years from now as you are right now. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. My prayer is that you don't want that for you. Is that movie ready? Can we show it? Yeah. We're going to see. This is kind of a funny movie. Hopefully you'll laugh. It'll get funnier, but we had to do this for an intro. Let me just tell you what's going to happen here, because we didn't do an intro at the beginning. And would you go ahead and get the lights, except for, well, I'll tell you to get them in a minute.